Welcome to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. I'm your host, Julia Jorn, and I live and work in Round Top in beautiful Greene County. Come along with me as I meander through the Hudson Valley, the Northern Catskills, the Capital Region, and beyond to interview the people behind the special spots and hidden gems that make our area of New York State and our collective community both distinct and diverse. You'll likely discover that you don't have to travel too far to pay them a visit. They may already be in your own backyard or just around the corner. And I'll bet their place might turn out to be that one certain destination you keep meaning to check out. So I'm here to remind you, put it on your list. Together we'll meet shop owners and small business owners, curators, designers, and artists, chefs, farmers, and culinary experts, and other creative entrepreneurs. We'll hear their own personal stories, learn about their unique offerings, and hit them up for their own local recommendations. Thanks for listening. Today I'm sitting down here on a park bench with a view to the Hudson River with my friend Seth Camel, owner of Big Onion Tours and the soon-to-be-launched Hudson Valley Rover Tours, which is, by the way, just like it sounds, special driving excursions throughout the region. You'll be hearing more details about his Rover Tours down the road, where Seth will take groups of guests and visitors to favorite cultural destinations as well as hidden pockets off the beaten path. But in the meantime, here in the city of Hudson, today is the first in what will be an ongoing series of conversations. Seth will meet me at different spots to share his deep knowledge and passion for the area's history, whether it's offering detailed stories behind architectural treasures or explaining the roots of whiskey and applejack here in the Hudson Valley, or traveling back in time to uncover a who's who cast of characters. Seth always has a compelling way to weave it all together. So to start, Seth, why don't you please tell us about Big Onion Tours?
It's a business that I started 30 years ago as a graduate student studying American urban and ethnic history at Columbia, working on a PhD, and frankly couldn't pay for it. So with another graduate student, we started doing walking tours, and 30 years later, we're doing 20 different tours in New York City and one up here in Hudson. And we've been touring on foot the city of Hudson for about 3 years now.
And when you started Big Onion Tours, did you know that it would become your life?
Oh, gosh, no. No. This was literally meant to pay rent and buy beer. And my partner, Ed, had Irish twins. His joke was, I paid rent and beer, and he paid rent and diapers.
And who does the tours in the city? And who does the tours here in Hudson?
The premise of the company is to hire graduate students, recent PhDs, or early career educators, and pay them a decent wage to lead tours and help enhance their teaching skills and bring the traditional notion of education outside of the classroom.
And how did you find these students and these tour guides?
Ironically, it all started by just colleagues and friends at Columbia.
Word of mouth.
Yeah, it's always been word of mouth. And for generations now of graduate students, it's been people telling each other and me reaching out to faculty. We're pretty well known in a lot of academic circles. So when we expanded up here to Hudson, I reached out to professors at the history department at SUNY Albany, and they referred a couple of wonderful people who are now doing the tour, one of whom is writing his dissertation on the Hudson River Whalers.
Tell me about that, since we're standing here on the promenade in front of the Hudson River.
Well, it's really an interesting question. How is the city of Hudson, whose iconic image is a whale, be a 18th century whaling village this far from the open ocean? And that's really the first almost riddle of the town. So the premise here is that in the 1780s, as the American Revolution is ending, a group of Quakers from Nantucket, Rhode Island, Block Island, and the very eastern end of Long Island felt the need, for a variety of reasons, to relocate. And they raised a corporation called the Proprietorship with 30 shares. And in 1780s money, $100,000 to buy land, and made their way first to the Lower East Side of Manhattan, where a land deal failed with Colonel Henry Rutgers, the former colonel under George Washington and founder of Rutgers University. And they migrated up the Hudson River, ultimately coming to Claverack, where they purchased the land that they needed.
And from Claverack to Hudson, how did that take shape?
Well, they named the town for Henry Hudson, the English explorer who had been sought after by the French, who ended up working for the Dutch, who by way of Russia was trying to find a route to China. I mean, he was one of the great for-hire explorers of the day. And in 1609, despite numerous other Europeans having come across the Atlantic, he is the one who is the first one to, in recorded knowledge, make his way up this great waterway that he thought could have been a shortcut to China, but it turned out was A, in the wrong direction, and B, he could only go as far as about Albany.
Well, as I stand here looking out at the Hudson, you've asked me to meet you here in front of this statue. Can you tell me about her?
You know, the statue is one of the funniest things about the town, and that is it doesn't belong here at all. St. Winifred was cast by George Bissell in the 1890s, and it was donated by the last Dutch patroon of Columbia County, a man named General John Watts de Peyster. He's actually from Tivoli, and the statue in 1896 was rejected by Tivoli.
Why?
Well, some will say it had no relevance. Some would say it was unattractive. Some will simply say they didn't want it. There are a variety of reasons, and it ended up here. What's interesting is that Winifred was a devout Christian Welsh princess who, to be polite, as this is radio, spurned the advances of a man named Prince Cardoc. And in his anger, Prince Cardoc beheaded her. Her head rolls down a small hill. Where it stops bouncing, a spring pops up of fresh water. Thus, she is a Catholic saint.
I see her here with her sword. Is that the sword?
Oh, no, that's his sword.
His sword.
That's part
that
of the iron.
Holding.
Yeah, that's his sword that she is holding. And it's really kind of curious. I mean, some will say that she is the patron saint of spurned advances. One of the local legends and stories is that there would be attempts through high school graduations and through local teens to steal the sword. While the statue may be original, the sword is not. There have been numerous recreations of the sword, as the former ones have been permanently borrowed.
I like this statue very much. I think it's interesting that she's a Welsh saint here in Hudson,
yes,
which has probably no Welsh connections.
Well, it's hard to say if the area had no Welsh connections, because there were many, many layers of migrants that came here over the course of the hundreds of years of Europeans arriving. But if we back up for 1 minute and think about the indigenous peoples that lived here, what local historians call the Mahican is the A over time of Mahican translates to an O and becomes Mohican. So there is a concept of the land was purchased by the Dutch from the Mahican people to create Claverack, which then allowed them to sell the land properly to the proprietorship. But it's really very interesting when you think about concept of land ownership. But when we're talking about the Welsh and other immigrant groups, it's not just Dutch. You have layers of French Huguenots. You have layers of people from throughout the British Islands. We have African and Caribbean slavery. We have numerous people. This was a much more diverse colonial environment than many people think of it, as we're very much focused on the Dutch heritage.
And what was Parade Hill originally created for?
We're standing here on Parade Hill, 1785. The highest visible point, looking up the Hudson, down the Hudson, across the river. We can see anyone or anything coming for a tremendous distance. Quakers are peaceful people. They are opposed to violence and warfare. Bring a military person here, they're building a fort. Bring the Quakers here, they're creating one of the oldest public parks in New York State and take this military, perfectly designed space and saying, nope, no guns, no cannons, no walls. This is for the people to parade, to promenade, to promenade, whatever you want to call it.
I think this is a beautiful spot. And I have to confess, I've never been here until today. And as I look out, it's such a beautiful view from here. I see over to Athens and I see the lighthouse. What do you know about the lighthouse?
I love lighthouses. And it's a navigational lighthouse. There are numerous lighthouses from New York Harbor all the way up to this one to navigate the ships, the barges, where we get our heating oil every winter, all of these various vessels. And what's great is the Hudson Athens Lighthouse, which is open to the public in normal times at certain weekends during the summer. We have one in Saugerties. We have them going all the way down the river. The most famous one is probably the Little Red Lighthouse, which is directly under the George Washington Bridge, has a great children's book written about it. But we could also consider the torch of the Statue of Liberty a lighthouse.
I love seeing that connection from Manhattan to Hudson and beyond. What other spots along the Hudson can you recommend that might be hidden gems?
Standing right here, the hidden gems around us beyond the lighthouse is Athens itself. There's the seasonal ferry to Athens. But if you look just downriver, you can see the Rip Van Winkle Bridge, which is a short drive over to Athens or Greene County. We have the Catskill Mountain Range in the distance. Right here next to us, we have Mount Marino. And just beyond that, we have Owana. And really get a great sense of the situation of Hudson with everything around it. Now, what I love is just a couple miles north is going to be the old ice house ruin.
Is that something we can visit?
Absolutely. Just upriver is the town of Stuyvesant. And Stuyvesant is home to what I think is one of the great industrial ruins of the late 19th century. What you've got is the R&W Scott Ice House and the Powerhouse. 1885, one of over 100 businesses on this part of the Hudson River that when the river would freeze, not all the way across, but in the shallows in particular, people would go out and they would cut blocks of ice. Now, what survives is the shell of the building, the chimney of the powerhouse, and you can barely make out the foundation of the building. The ice house was 200 feet by 300 feet. The walls were 2 feet thick. And what they would do is they would cut the ice in the coldest of winter, store it inside, wrapped in straw, and as downstate needed ice, ship it downstate. As we think of climate change now and blocks of icebergs breaking off and slowly melting as they cross the oceans, think of a multi-ton block of ice covered in a thick layer of straw on a barge, slowly melting as it made its way to Manhattan to bring coolant, of however you want to use it, to the city of New York and other places downstate.
That's an incredible image to even imagine.
I think that it is one of the recurring themes that I find here in Hudson and throughout the area is a social and economic mutual dependence between upstate and downstate that has gone on for centuries.
You know, that's actually an interesting subject and a conversation I'd like to continue perhaps another time. But for now, thank you, Seth, for showing me something new here in Hudson and sharing your incredible knowledge of our region. And might I add, for peeling away some of the layers of the onion.
Absolutely.
Thanks for tuning in to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. If you're interested in checking out an ongoing list of local recommendations, or if you have recommendations of your own to share, go to my Instagram at Roundtop Recommends, or visit the Wave Farm website at wavefarm.org for the Hudson Valley Word of Mouth segment archives and how to reach me. Talk to you next time.